everybody, welcome to another episode of the Unreasonable Art of Living podcast. I'm your host, Gerhard Molin, and as always, enjoy the music. Welcome back to this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, I hope you're doing fine wherever you are right now. I'm laughing because I was listening. Actually, I got a bit of feedback, very joyful feedback, and also listened to my previous week's episode. And really must apologize at this point. I was so tired. You know this moment when you are like so tired that you almost feel like drunk? That was my level of when I recorded the episode. It was a very long weekend. I was very tired, little sleep. And I think you can really hear it in the previous episode. And if you haven't listened to it yet, go check it out. It's definitely worth listening to it. I found it hilarious. So yeah, welcome back to this week's episode. If you are a first-time listener, welcome. Thank you for choosing your time and deciding to give this podcast a try. What is this podcast about? It's really about a reflection of my life, a reflection of other people's life that, you know, like kind of like dare to think about what is a non-linear kind of life, what is an unreasonable life. And why I say unreasonable, it might be for them, when you think of people, think of their lives, and there's like, it's so unreasonable. But for them, it's the most reasonable thing to do. And it was the idea that inspired me to call this podcast Unreasonable Art of Living. Because for me, actually, the way the decisions I made and things I chose, for me, is like the most reasonable thing to do. It's like, you know, kind of like to break free from this illusion of normality and to break free from this idea that there's this very certain path ahead, which we all kind of buy into when we go to school in the kindergarten. Of course, you know, we watch movies, we read books, and many people kind of like also don't know. No one knows how to live this life. The only person that really knows how to live your life is yourself. And that is really about developing and redeveloping this trust to this inner knowing that we all have. So that's why the Unreasonable Art of Living podcast. At the beginning, there were a lot of guests. Now, me and my team, we're working hard on an app called MyLumi. It is really about, helping people to unlock their body intelligence, this inner knowing again, and like, there are many steps to do this with self-awareness, with helping them to create this intelligence, but also with a social support network. More about this soon. So it has been very busy the last 2 months, and I didn't have much time to scan and think about guests, even though I would love to have a guest soon on the show again with time. You know, that's what I love. I think that's why I'm because I'm also stressing out about sometimes of this podcast. Oh, no. Oh, what about next week? And, you know, guest and no or yes, it has been a while. But remember when I started this podcast, I promised myself it should be an honest reflection of life as it is. And life is really, there are different phases. Sometimes it's very stressful. Sometimes more time. There's really about energy shifts. Sometimes you put more energy in this thing. Sometimes you put more energy in this project and this area of life. It's a fluctuation. It's very organic. I think the more importantly, actually, than trying to stick to a rigid plan is to dance, to learn how to dance with these energies. Be fluid, be organic, and don't feel guilty. And I'm actually just saying this. There's another reason for this podcast. It's like almost an open diary about my life. So I'm reflecting, and you're my witnesses on my raw thoughts and reflections. So thank you so much for listening. Yeah, this week's episode. Very exciting news. So a little update on Lumi, on the app, on the company we're building. It started in the early access phase. It's invite only. It's for free. And actually, we made the decision we're going to keep it for free as long as we feel we don't provide enough value to the people. And we're talking about real value. And actually, now I'm thinking, I will actually invite some of my co-founders on the show. It would have been awesome, I think amazing to talk about like what does value mean to them and what do we want to reach? Like we have a really high benchmark in delivering high value, what it means for us. And what I mean by that, actually, you might have read the headline of the episode and you know what the news is, but you don't know exactly what's there. So bear with me. Because it's all connected. It's all connected. Just bear with me. There was a beautiful discussion with one of my co-founders, Mihai, and he read an amazing study, multiple studies, about there are like 20,000 mental health apps out there. Okay, that's amazing. So there's clearly a demand for people that need something. On the other hand, the cases for mental health issues and demand and whatnot is actually rising. It's not declining. So there's something off, I would think. You know, we have more products than ever, more access than ever to those kind of apps, to online therapists, to workshops, to coaches, yet it doesn't decline. Kind of like there's a mental health crisis, according to the World Health Organization. So, and he found this amazing study. I actually wrote him WhatsApp because I wanted to, before I started the show, I hope he can still link it to me because I would love to provide a reference to what I'm saying. But so he read a study that they, you know, out of 20,000 mental health apps, I think it was like they picked a certain amount, but they found out that actually majority of these mental health apps, they don't have any clinical or scientific backed results in terms of long-term behavioral change. That means there's like a lot of apps out there, but they don't really do anything. They don't really help, really. Oh, by the way, today I'm having it again, my Peruvian ceremonial chocolate. Greetings to my dear friend who protested last time that ceremonial cacao and amazing doesn't match. And actually this time I normally do it with oat milk, honey, chili and cinnamon. I didn't have milk today, so it's just water. Still very good. I add a bit of peanut butter. Let me take a sip. So yeah, a lot of products out there, and I guess it goes the same with coaches. I'm not sure about therapists, but maybe there's also like a lot of therapists that don't really promise or like can deliver any lasting behavioral change. And for us, it's a high benchmark because we really, really want to provide real value and long-term behavioral change. And what we found out is actually there's a huge market out there that there's a lot of apps that like focus on this, the approach on mindfulness and meditation with guided audios and whatnot. But there's very little that focus on directly helping to develop this emotional and body intelligence, to understand, develop this relationship to your emotions. Relearn to use your inner map and your body intelligence as navigation for making decisions, to understand how you're doing, how things respond to you. And this is what we want to target. We want to niche, we want to nail this really well. And what I mean by nailing is we really want to see, okay, we actually created something that really can drive or can help people, because one of the focuses that we bring back and show people that we want to empower them again, to bring back their own, like show them their, give them their responsibility back about their own life and their emotional and mental well-being, and support them to drive their long-term behavioral change. is our very high benchmark, and I think we all agree we wanna. That's the minimum we wanna reach. And as long as we don't reach that, the early access is gonna be for free. That's simple as that. Not a sip. So, and there's three steps in our journey. The first step, so our vision is actually quite interesting. So first, and that's what we are at this stage. First stage is to help people to create self-awareness. And we don't talk about meditation. There's like self-awareness of how you're doing, about your inner world, connecting it with your emotions and experiences in your life. The second step is to help them to actually build, to unlock this body intelligence and emotional intelligence again. Second step. And the third step in this vision is to bring this all together with a social support network. And ultimately, that has many meanings, and I won't tell too much at this point, but one example could be also that too, because at many stages, like an app is only an entry point to this whole journey. And what it really makes it complete is that by the end of the journey, we can actually help people to connect them to the right resources where we know that these people are amazing and they can really help you to drive long-term behavioral change. So Lumi is just like the first entry point that helps you kind of like build this self-awareness, this intelligence, and then kind of like this guide and navigation, like crossroad navigation point where you can then choose in what area you want to go. And for this, something amazing happened, because there maybe want to work closely with universities and research to really show that my Lumi will and can actually drive long-term behavioral change. And for this, now the amazing news comes. Oh, we have our very first study in place. And we're going to work. So a very, very, very dear friend of mine, he actually was a guest on the show. He's a professor at Rikkyo University in Tokyo. And as always, the dots connect in the most amazing ways. I was visiting him last year in 2023 in April. I did a guest lecture on Lumi, actually. And back then, it was still like the pen and paper version. It was just a Lumi score. And by far not as outlined the vision and more about vision as it is today. But the seed was planted back then. And we will kick off a study, 14-week study with over 100 students in Tokyo at Rikkyo University. They will use my Lumi, and they will have access to certain features. And the study will look into various ways. Like one aspect, of course, they're interested in what they're researching right now, something really interesting concept. I was not aware of it. Cultural intelligence. Very cool. And hand in hand, they want to break this boundary. They don't want to see student as like this. A student comes in the classroom and we treat the student as if their outer world doesn't exist. They really want to break these walls. And they want to see with Lumi how their learning, their experience, the university life and their private life affects each other. They want to develop this holistic point of view, and therefore want to measure the self-awareness with my Lumi, if it helps actually for them to become more self-aware. And there's some caveats. Not caveats. It's going to be very interesting, because they are mainly Japanese students. Of course, the course is in English. And Japan is a very interesting market, because they have a severe mental health crisis, especially in the youth. And it's going to be a fascinating first study, and we can't wait. It's going to, I hope, lay the foundation for many more studies to come. There's another option, maybe a joint study with a German university. Let's see. But it's amazing news. To be honest, things are developing so fast. And yeah, we are now, yeah, another thing that's happened. It's like crazy this week. So 100 students, end of April, going to use my Lumi for 14 weeks in a control, like with actually, with a focused study with yeah, questionnaires, empirical data, and whatnot. And another thing happened this week. We invited a new batch of early access members with close to 100 new members. So we started in February 1st, for around 70 members, and now we're close to 200. It's amazing. I mean, things are so fast, and it was very exciting. Very, very exciting. And very amazing. Actually, at this, yeah, maybe, at just a round of applause for A, my team, B, for all the early access members. If you're part of it, this is for you. Yes. Amazing. And so it has been an exciting week, and so much more we want to talk about. So much more we want to do. Our vision is becoming more and more clear or clearer. Yeah, that's the correct way to say it. And so many more things I would like to share, but when the time is ripe. I hope that's the correct way to say it. So yeah, crazy news. We're going to Japan. It's starting end of April, the study, and it's going to be 14 weeks, and I'm going to keep you updated, of course. Then another thing. So this week, I wrote down a few things. I wrote down one thing that stressed me, one thing that humbled me, one thing that gave me joy, one thing that inspired me, and one thing to be grateful for. So let's start with one thing that stressed me. Really stressed me, and where I kind of like had to really come, like really like use my methods, my mindset to come down from the mind, which was really going crazy, to allow to settle in. And the question, what was so stressful was, so we're a very distributed team. We are four founders, one in Finland, one in UK. And me in Finland, Austria, and another guy is in Austria, but also traveling a lot. And so the question is then, where do we form the company? it's not as simple. Like if you are alone, it's easy. Or if you live in a country and you know you're going to stay there, but our company is going to be completely distributed and remote. It's going to be a remote company. We know it for sure. We want to do things differently. We have been running it remotely ever since, and there's so much benefits. Of course, we want to make sure that remote doesn't mean only sit at home, but also like coming together and meet and work for a focused period of time together in the same room. But it was stressful because the two candidates, and they're both amazing candidates, is Estonia and Finland. On paper, Estonia is actually the prime candidate. They have something called e-residency program, where you can actually form a limited private company completely online. Amazing. Like you just online, you sign up. First, you apply for the e-residency, but as a European Union member, like there's no, but basically it's just a formality. And then you set up the company within hours. And then the other point is Finland, because I have experience, I have a really good network in Finland. And I also have experience with forming multiple companies in Finland. So on paper, Estonia is like the obvious choice, yet there's something in me, and I think that's why there's something about like body intelligence, you just have to trust it. Something my intuition tells me it will be Finland. And there, one of the reasons just of all about, yes, if you look at just from a calculative, rational perspective, like Estonia is the place to be. On the other hand, none of us has ever been in, like we have been, no, actually two of us have been in Estonia. We have no roots, no connection to Estonia. We don't have a network to Estonia. We don't know anyone there. We don't have any startup connections. And the last thing for me, I think it's so weird, but actually now I can say it. I like to pay taxes. And it wasn't always like the case. Finland changed my mind completely about taxes. Yeah, you pay a lot of taxes, But actually, for me, the location of a company also should represent in what values do we believe in? What does the country stand for? And for me, Finland has like so many strong, beautiful values. And don't get me wrong, Finland is an amazing, attractive startup ecosystem. It's very fast register company. It's straightforward. Everything's online. There were just other, like, of course, like we're distributed. There's like another, you know, how can we make sure two co-founders can be registered as well? But it turned out everything's possible. But it came really down, like, of course, on paper, on a pure, rational, business approachable mind, Estonia actually looks way better. Like, if there's like head on head, if there's a race, maybe Estonia is like in this race, where things are measured like in like just purely based on business, Estonia is maybe 1 point ahead. Finland has 90 points, Estonia has 91 points. But then what really for me makes a difference is like the values of a country. And I owe so much to Finland as a country, as a culture, what they stand for. And for me, it's like the place you register a company, you actually also support the country because you pay taxes there. And it might be like the most, if an investor sounds like this, like, who's this CEO founder that thinks like that? Well, you know, I think principles are very important. Let me take another sip. I must say though, the ceremonial Peruvian cacao is with oat milk better. Oh, because now it's cold and okay. Because like I think what's missing is like the binding. When you drink, I add oat milk, there's like fat as well, but now it's water. Now we get when it's cold, it kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the fat, the chocolate and the water is kind of like there's no binding agent anymore. It's just like, yeah, weird. Flaky. See, that stressed me a lot. But I told myself, I really have to just actually go calm down, not just like, for me, it was a question again. It's about allowing my inner knowing, my tapping to my pod intelligence that to really understand, like feel it. It's more like feeling it. What's the right decision? Yeah. So that's the thing that stressed me, but it was okay. One thing that humbled me, what really humbled me is what we're doing right now. And things are developing very fast. There's more people joining. And I think it's, and actually my co-founder Niklas, yeah, we had like he reminded me of this. And also like he shared with me similar thoughts. It's like, wow, there's a big responsibility we have right now. It's still very small, but it's growing because there's trust people give us. And we really want to, we don't just want to develop something that's out there and we think it helps you and that's why pay us. No, we really want to see and want to believe in these changes. And we're using the apps, our apps, so much our own. We use it, we test it, we measure it, we're honest with it. We are our own critical users. Like if we feel like it doesn't help us, like what's the point? Why should we even dare to bring it out there and try to influence people that, hey, do it? No, we're not here in just for the money. We really want to deliver real value. So it really humbled me this week. A bit of a reality check because the things that could happen next weeks and 1 to 2 months, I'll share more about it soon, could really change also the lives from all the founding members. So let's see. But I think it reminded me again, so often I think, you know, I'm very aware of it and it's just, again, moments that, how to say, over the years you just collect a lot of methods and tools. And one of them is the stoic dichotomy. It's like this understanding what is in your control, what is not in non-control. But of course, it's being human. There are situations where you're just human, emotions are coming up and it takes a while to really like to settle in and wow, all right. remind yourself about these kind of things. What can you control? What is out of your control? And really just focus. It sounds easier and very abstract, but really just, actually, I really can recommend you, when you are in a stressful situation, A, write down what stresses you, and B, write down control versus non-control. What is in your direct control? I mean, direct control. For example, it is cold, the window is open, you can close the window. What you cannot control is the weather, but you can at least close the window, you can dress up warm, you can turn on the heater, but you cannot control the weather. Same with this when developing a company and a product. What can you control? What can you not control? I think it was a beautiful reminder in the situations when there's a lot of things happening that you keep a cool mind because it really calms you. Because then it's like some things you just cannot control, so you don't stress about it. One thing that gave me a lot of joy was just the whole weekend. I completely locked out, so to say. I mean, I was available, but I didn't write one line of code for 2 days. I was just celebrating Easter, family, it was joy, it was a lot of laughter, it was a lot of love and good times. It gave me a lot of joy, a lot of energy, and I really felt it today. I was like very motivated, like, let's go, let's start the next week's, several weeks sprint. And one thing inspired me, I'm going to play it to you actually. It was a little clip from a podcast with Henry Shukman. Henry Shukman is a Zen monk. He's a monk, no. But let me just, what, I'm just trying to, I'm not unprepared. I have it, everything ahead of me. I just want to, how would you, because he's not a monk. He's a, he's a renowned mindfulness teacher, Zen practitioner and author. I read his book many, many years ago, One Blade of Grass. I'm going to link it, of course. Can really recommend it. A lot, amazing book. What other resources? Oh, yeah.
Hold on to this idea of what we are, but you called it the...
Sorry. I was just opening a link I wanted to show you. I'm editing the show notes as I'm recording, you see? Saving time and energy. So Henry Shukman, I read his book, One Blade of Grass, many years ago. It was very inspiring. And he and his, I think, niece, they have started their own meditation app. Amazing. Because I loved his work. And then I listened to some of his podcast. And there was one clip I really liked. And we're going to listen to it now. So enjoy it. It's not very short. It's maybe 1 minute. It is with Kevin Rose, I'm a fanboy of Kevin Rose. He's such a cool guy. But yeah, to the clip. Very short. This inspired me. Let's go.
Someone asked you the question of, what are we? And you said, oftentimes it's better to ask the question, not really what are we, and not hold on to this idea of what we are, but you called it the finger by finger letting go of who we think we are.
Rather than it being, I'm going to find X, it's more, I'm going to just loosen my hold on Y. Gradually just being softer in my sense of who I am. The way I construct experience is actually conditioned. And none of us probably would believe that. We think we got it right. I know I'm in here and I know the world's out there. Well, actually, not so fast. It can be experienced differently. And it can just show itself very naturally that actually we're part of what we think we're outside of or separate from. And that comes through gently releasing.
Someone asked you.
Amazing. There's so much beauty in it. And I think I'm going to link the podcast episode, of course, of Henry Shukman and Kevin Rose. And it's something also like that was kind of touched upon in my flow coaching program. It's like, it's so interesting and you like take it for granted, but there's actually the first step is actually letting go of what we think, what and who we are. It's amazing what we accumulate over decades and years of identities, roles, and we don't even, it's bizarre actually. What's interesting is what happens, we actually create more and more a disconnect of a separation. We think we as this body and what we think is behind our eyes is separated to everything out there. So what naturally happens then is that we might live a life very disconnected, a life of not understanding that, hey, we're here together and actually there's the only right way to live is a life of joy, peace, freedom, love, and creativity for everyone. And if we don't understand this and we see ourselves separated from this world out there, things like jealousy, greed, hate, fear, all the things drive us then. Power. And ultimately this leads to violence, rage, wars, crazy politicians, crazy companies. And that's why I think it's so important, and I think to remind ourselves, like, what are we doing here is actually really help people understand, A, once you actually have you connect with your inner knowing again, you will see that you are, because this is the paradox. The first step is to love yourself again and to understand, to connect with yourself again. And some people might say, isn't this egoistic? No, it has nothing to do with, in a sense of being selfish or self-centered. Because once you connect with your inner knowing and you start loving yourself again, you start being connected with everything and everyone around you. It's a paradox, but it's actually true. And one thing to be grateful for, then I'm done with my list, is actually my team. I'm so grateful. Now we have an amazing, super balanced, super strong founding team. And what I mean by this is, like, everyone has their own, each of them and each of us, they're so amazing in what they're doing. And we complement each other amazingly. And why I'm so grateful for, of course, like 4 years ago, I had the honor that something whispered to me and started with the Lumi score, a pen and paper version. You know, I didn't even know what to do with it, but I just did it. In a sense, Lumi created itself, you know, and it led me to who we are and where we are right now. But what I'm so grateful for is to witness how an I vision becomes a we vision. Suddenly, it's our vision. Suddenly, we create a vision together. And it becomes more powerful, more beautiful, more refined, more stronger, more balanced. And it's such a beautiful process to witness. And I had such deep gratitude for this week, to realize this. And I wrote something down. I'm going to read it to my team in Malaga. We're going to have a boot camp in April. We're going to meet for 3 days, short trip, but I'm really looking forward to it. So very, very grateful for that. And of course, the We Vision actually is not just the founding team, but also our early access members. Because we create with them, thanks to them, this vision becomes much more refined, much more beautiful, again, much more focused. So deep gratitude for this. This said, I hope you have a beautiful day. And if you're interested in joining the early access, I'm going to paste the link, obviously. You can sign up there. And yeah, you will get the next steps once you signed up. Yeah, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed it, I would always appreciate a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your platform of your choice. Make sure to follow it. It helps. Like, click on follow. And if you feel like that's a cool podcast or episode, recommend it to one friend and invite them to join this little self-discovery reflection podcast. And with that, hope you're doing fine. Have a wonderful day, and until next week.